Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams.
He is Jalen Rose. I am David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
Jalen Rose, later on during this very program, we will be joined by none other than the podfather, the man who greenlit this show, Bill Simmons. But we start with the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. It was in the sixth inning when Blake Snell had only thrown 73 pitches and he was pulled by Kevin Cash. In the moment, I thought it was the wrong decision and it played out to be exactly that. Jalen, when you saw him get pulled from the game, what were your feelings?
It's funny, their manager's last name actually is what it is, because last night he managed on credit, not on cash. Okay, It's right in front of you. Snell is pitching a gem, Jacoby, and I know he hasn't done over six innings this season, and I know that he has been a Cy Young winner, but this is a great moment, and all of a sudden, when you're the Rays, you got to get something special to happen if you're going to upset the Dodgers, who have more talent, who are the favorite, and he's on the mound pitching a gem, and all of a sudden, he gives up one hit to the nine-hole hitter, and you come take him out of the game? That you supposed to go to the mound and make sure he's good. The top of the lineup is coming back up, Jacoby, with the three top hitters who he struck out six times already. Six times he's striking those guys out. He has nine total strikeouts. You do not take him out of the game. As soon as he does, you put in Anderson, boom. Mookie takes advantage immediately.
And it's not just taking him out. It's, as you mentioned, putting in Anderson, who has given up a run in six straight appearances. And that was the case last night as well. Mookie Betts also added an insurance home run in the late innings to give the Dodgers the victory. They made a big investment in Mookie Betts, and that bet paid off last night. Jalen, how do you feel about your guy, Mookie Betts?
Why didn't he win MVP? Right? I don't understand why he didn't win MVP. And I don't want to be this guy having that conversation right now, but he's the 5-2 guy I saw snagging home runs, stealing timely bases, hitting doubles, hitting
tacos.
Home runs, inspiring his team. Like, he was the MVP of this series. Not to take anything away from Seager. I know that Kershaw gave him 11 innings. But that's their MVP right there, Mookie Betts.
Well, I'm glad you brought up Kershaw, because Kershaw has been, this monkey has been on his back. He has the reputation of being a great regular season pitcher, but can't put it together in the postseason. His two starts led to two wins for the Dodgers in this World Series. Do you think that monkey is finally off his back with this World Series win?
It is, because what ends up happening is people start to look back at his journey, and before they could say he's a three-time Cy Young winner, the only one that doesn't have a ring. Now he goes into the category of one of the all-time greats, which is when people start talking about the greatest pitchers of all time, he's now elevated himself with that ring in a lot of people's mind in that conversation. But I want to press pause just a little bit. Yes, it does eliminate that monkey off of his back. However, they didn't need him to be that quote-unquote throwback dominant type of ace to go out there and pitch eight innings, to pitch nine innings, to strike out 10, to perform in a game seven, or to perform even in the closeout game for the Dodgers. So I am happy to see him get a championship, but as we start talking about all-time great pitchers, there will be people like myself that have to acknowledge those points.
Well, this World Series championship was very 2020. It came after a shortened 60-game regular season. It was played in a bubble, and Justin Turner, the third baseman of the Dodgers, was pulled from the game mid-game because results from a COVID test came back positive. And then after the game, he came back onto the field with a positive test to celebrate with teammates, even removing his mask for pictures. Jalen, what happened?
So this was irresponsible by Turner. I know he's been on the Dodgers longer than anybody else. And I know he's hometown, and I know he's going to be a free agent, Jacoby, and I know winning the World Series for your hometown team is something extra special. But COVID-19 is not anything for us to be joking or playing with, considering almost 300,000 Americans have lost their lives based on the fact that they've contracted coronavirus. So now, once you understand that he fails the test and is removed in the game from the eighth inning, it makes me ask the question, so did he get tested every inning? Did they find this out in the second inning? Did they find this out before the game? Oh, so when he does leave the game, is MLB's power structure has to be present because the World Series is being decided, which means they have to separate church from state and say, hey, we're going to keep everybody safe, and now immediately quarantine him like the Wisconsin football team is doing with their quarterback. But no, they win the World Series. He celebrates with the team, and that becomes something that makes me so mad as somebody that's walking around with a mask on that's putting bumps on my face. That now becomes a super spreader event. That's what that becomes, Jacoby. And it disappoints me seeing so many people still walking around disregarding the current and the lingering effects of the coronavirus. This is real. As long as you woke up today wearing a mask, things are not normal.
I'm going to move our attention to college football. I'm glad you brought up college football because we have what could become a big story. And these are the words that came out of number one pick Trevor Lawrence's mouth. Let's listen to the Clemson quarterback.
We'll just have to see how things unfold. I think there's a lot of factors in that. But honestly, just really, you know, I leave or stay, whatever. Obviously, I have the option to do either one. Kind of my mindset's been that I'm going to move on. But who knows? There's a lot of things that could happen.
Interesting. Now, I've said that he is the best quarterback prospect that I've ever seen in my entire life. The best athletic prospect I've ever seen since LeBron James. And he's saying, huh, maybe I won't go to the draft. Jalen, do you think this is a real threat to stay in Clemson?
I now have a real threat, Jacoby. I was trying to figure what style I might do next without forcing one. And if I could have hair like anybody, it would be like Trevor Lawrence. Put his picture back up there, Tommy. Or whoever's producing the show today. Jill, who else producing the show today? Put him back up there. Oh, Tony's my guy. Look at his hair, yes. Jacoby. You see that? Can you imagine me with that down to my shoulders with the straightening iron? Like, Jill, that might be next, fam.
I think your hair is great as it is, but talking about Trevor Lawrence, a lot of people are just putting this to the Jets. Oh, he doesn't want to play for the Jets. The Jets are one of many teams that are terrible at football in the NFL. It's not a lock that the Jets are going to go 0-16. They were threatening against the Bills in the first half. There are tons of teams that could get the number one pick, so I don't want to make this story about the Jets, but it is interesting that he's saying he could stay in college because I think it does matter who the number one pick is going to be. That will influence that decision. However, I do not think Trevor Lawrence will stay in college. There's just too much money waiting for him to play.
I'm not
going to
be able to do it.
Jalen, we have some news about the Detroit Lions. The 3-3 Detroit Lions. They have traded for the Cowboys defensive end Everson Griffin. Now, the fact that they would trade Everson Griffin to the Lions for a conditional 6th round pick tells you what about where the Cowboys' heads are right now.
So this is when an organization, Jacoby, walks into the locker room blindfolded after the owner gets upset at a media member for questioning the leadership in the locker room, puts a blindfold over his eyes, and just sprays through the locker room to try to make an example out of one person. And it's like, okay, so do y'all see what we did to Everson? We got him out of here. You could be next. You think you don't understand wearing that Dallas Cowboys star is a privilege? We'll get you up out of here. But you know what they ain't doing? Getting rid of the guys that they paid top dollar that should be performing is not. Like Lawrence, like Jalen Smith on defense, like Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott. You know what he did when he saw their lockers? He just walked right by. How y'all doing? What's up, fellas? Because those was his decisions. And so now he's trying to own it by pointing blame, but it ain't nobody to blame, Jerry, but yourself.
You know what the wildest thing about this story is? Griffin got traded from the Cowboys to the Lions, and he actually ends up on a better team in Detroit than in Dallas. Think about that. There are very few times in the history of the National Football League in which that is true. And right now, I want you to congratulate you. Enjoy being 500 right now, because we both know it is not going to last. We have Bill Simmons joining us right after the break. Make sure you stay tuned.
You're
going to want to see that.
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Coming to you live from Pier 17 in the South Street Seaport District of Manhattan and brought to you by Chase. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. It is a very special day here on Jalen and Jacoby because we have the
it's
man who made this
affair.
Show happen, the Podfather, Bill Simmons, joins the program. Thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy and very rich schedule to join us on this program.
I had to invite myself, to be fair.
You guys just forgot about me.
You're here every day.
We have you on the wall in the studio. You're here every day, Bill. But yes, you did have to invite yourself on the program multiple times.
What does that do?
Bill, I want to get inside your head because I know the complicated emotions that you have towards a gentleman named Tom Brady. What does it feel like to watch your Patriots be terrible and watch Tom Brady flourish in Tampa Bay with Gronkowski and the Buccaneers?
It's been very spiteful. I'm hurt. I feel like it's my first wife who left me and then just got in incredible shape and married somebody who's cuter than I am. And I got to say, the only way I've been able to deal with it is just betting on the Buccaneers. Because then I fight off the resentment, and then I have something at stake. The thing for me is I love Gronk. Gronk is my favorite Patriot of all time. So to see Gronk rejuvenated and see me more like the 2015 Gronk has made it more palatable to me. The other thing is the Patriots are so bad. You look at Brady now, and it's a little like LeBron. I remember Jalen and I did the finals in 2014 together, and we're kind of looking at each other going, wow, Miami's not good. This team, this is – the arrow's pointing down. And LeBron sensed it because he's a genius. He goes back to Cleveland, tried to pretend it was a whole, oh, I just want to go home, and I want to finish my career in Cleveland. We know he didn't. He was just going there. It was a better chance to win a title. And for Brady, I just think he surveyed it like a genius and said – this is my best chance to go here and have these receivers, and I want to win my seventh title. So I'm still like deep down hurt, but I can't not root I can't root against him.
So Bill, in the NBA, as you know, they call it tanking. What I see the Patriots doing is actually rebuilding right in front of our eyes. So many people are going to try to make a referendum on, was it more about Belichick or Brady? Where do you stand?
I think it was about them both. Much like how, Jalen, you and I had a great run there for about 3 years. I don't think it was you or me. I think it was 1+1=3. I think they're in a good spot for tanking because if you saw Cam last week, Cam looks like he's on the payroll to basically, it's 2 touchdowns and 7 interceptions right now. If we are tanking, this is what I saw from him on Sunday. This is the best guy to do it. But I do wonder if they should, trade Cam to Dallas. Maybe they could trade Gilmore, try to get a first round pick for him and just gut this and go 2-14. Because the reality with the Patriots, they've had bad drafts really since 2015. Like you think like they lost their first round pick on Deflategate and then 16, 17, 18, 19. And then this year. You can't compete if you're not nailing your first and second round picks, and they just haven't. And then they don't spend money in free agency. Gilmore's the only guy they've ever really paid for. So you look around, like, who are the blue chippers? Watch the Patriots. Tell me who the blue chippers are, because I can't find them.
So, Bill, Adam Silver watches Jalen and Jacoby on television and then listens to the podcast later. So he's going to be listening to this. And if Adam Silver were to call your phone and say, Bill, there's a lot of chaos going on. Ratings weren't great in the bubble. We don't know when to start the season. Should we delay it? Should we move it up to Christmas? What should we do? What would your answer to Adam be?
Well, I had this, I don't know how many days ago, like 9 days ago, I was hearing that they were going for Christmas. And the real reason for it, and people started reporting it, I guess, last Friday, but the real reason is they're trying to protect the 21-22 season. They know this 2021 season is screwed because they're not going to be able to have fans back at least until the spring, maybe even later than that. So if you're like, no, we got to wait till March to get the fans. It's like, well, what if you can't have fans in March? What if fans can't come back till July? So I think they just want to get through this regular season, get the RSN fees, maybe do 70, 72 games, try to keep June, July intact, because the biggest asset they had for as the league, June playoffs, they own the narrative. July offseason, every year it got bigger and bigger. Like, they basically own these 2 months where all they were doing was competing against baseball. Once you move into August, September, and you're going against football, they got demolished. There are other reasons for that, obviously. And I think the election really hurt. But they got demolished against the NFL. They never want to go against the NFL again. So they have to do it this way. I think it's smart.
So, Bill, you're a sports aficionado and you're a basketball historian. And I know when LeBron James won his fourth championship and his fourth finals MVPs, he started to move on a lot of people's different lists. Where does your current top handful of players of all time now stand?
Well, I've adjusted a little. I have a Mount Goatmore because I think it's so hard to compare the guys against theirs. I still have Jordan as the best player I've ever seen. But I do think you can look at it generationally and you think like Russell's the best guy the first 25 years. Kareem's the best guy the next 15 years. MJ's the best guy the next 20 years. And then LeBron. And if you think about it that way, each guy dominated their era. I still feel like Jordan going 6-0 in the finals and just the peak that he hit where it just seemed like no matter who was on his team, who he was playing, he could beat anybody. The Last Dance kind of cemented that. But if LeBron's going to play until he's 42, 43, I mean, Jaylen, you couldn't even play until you were 33. When did you retire? How old were you?
And you always retire 2 years before the league retired you. So it let me go at 34, but I was really done at like 31.
Right. The 2007 Suns, when they had the suspensions, Jay was like, hey, I'm right here.
Still didn't play.
We were with Jaylen in 2013 when we were doing that Memphis-San Antonio series for Countdown, and nobody could make a three. And I was like, Jaylen, you should go out there and make threes. And Jaylen was 100% serious. He was like, I could give them 15 minutes. He hadn't played in 6 years. You still believed.
Little known fact.
At that point,
fact.
I did. But as you guys know, trips like that, we started eating at Gus's Fried Chicken, and I became a kangaroo, and I blame you.
Well, now you're skinny, Jaylen.
Little known fact. Bill Simmons, more reliable from 15 feet than Jalen Rose. I've played with both of these human beings, and if I needed one person to hit one 15-footer, I'm giving it to Bill on the right side baseline over anything Jalen Rose from 15 feet and out. And that is a fact. I say that on wax, and I stand by it. Now, Bill, well, I made a mistake.
I love playing pickup basketball with both of you guys. Jalen, no matter what kind of shape he was in, could still do the back down a dude and just keep going left hand, right hand until he was next to the basket for a layup. And you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's 6'8" and made $140 million playing basketball. Yeah, this is why.
Pretty good at basketball, that guy. If you need a bucket in a pickup game, Jalen Rose will get you that bucket.
Yeah,
now, Bill,
he can get it.
I make the mistake of listening to the Bill Simmons podcast over and over again, and I often do that while I'm jogging. And when you discuss LeBron James, I want to smash my phone on the concrete because there's still residual resentment from your days rooting against him as a Celtics fan. You refuse to acknowledge his accomplishments. Forget about the GOAT conversations, but will you admit that you are biased when it comes to LeBron James' accomplishments?
What is biased? I think he's the second best player of all time. I've written multiple pieces about that. I thought he was a basketball genius. I think he's one of the smartest players we've ever had. He's certainly, I mean, you can make a case he's one of the four smartest guys we've ever had playing basketball, one of the four best athletes we've ever had, and he's one of the three most durable guys we've ever had. I mean, he's been amazing. I do think, though, I you know, he did lose in some finals, and people now, as the years pass, it's like, oh, he had no help. He had a lot of good players on his team. They lost it in 2014. They were favored in that series. They were favored in 2011. In 2017, everyone's like, oh, the Warriors were unstoppable. And I think that was the best team in the last 20 years. But he had Kyrie. He had Kevin Love. He had Tristan Thompson. That team was loaded. That team also spent an incredible amount of money. So I think there's been this narrative that developed that, you know, LeBron didn't have enough help. LeBron's played with unbelievable players. He's played with better players than Jordan did. Jordan had Pippen. He had Horace Grant. And he had Rodman. And those were the best players he ever played with. LeBron's had 7, 8 really good players. And when Tristan Thompson and, you know, Rajon Rondo, people like that, those guys are good. So I don't know. I think every generation protects their guy. And I think when you go under 35, they want LeBron to be the best player ever because that's their guy. That's the guy they were there for the whole thing. And I think the Last Dance kind of screwed that up because that 5 straight weeks of just Jordan, 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 and everybody was like, oh, my God, this guy was really good. So it's good. A great argument. I heard, Jacoby, you said something like this will never be solved. And I think it is one of those things. I don't think nobody's ever winning the Jordan versus LeBron argument. Everybody's going to be on their two sides, mm-hmm. and that's just the way it's going to be.
Good point.
The last time an MVP back-to-back regular season-wise that left a team was LeBron James. And it's funny you brought up the conversation that we had when we looked at the Heat roster. Giannis Antetokounmpo is now entering that scenario, in my opinion, if they don't meet expectations. I believe if the Milwaukee Bucks don't make it to the finals and or win the championship, he may end up elsewhere, in particular Miami. What do you think happens to Giannis as the time passes?
Well, we're going to know, right, in the next month because he can sign the Supermax. And if he's like, hey, can we wait on that? Can we wait a year? Then he's leaving. If he's staying, he's signing the Supermax. I assume he's leaving or at least keeping his options open because the thing for me is Durant tore his Achilles, which is probably the worst injury you can have as a basketball player, and still signed a max deal a couple months later. So Giannis, barring like an absolutely huge tragedy, no matter what happens to him next season, he's still getting the max. You know, he's getting a lot of money and he can pick where he wants to live. And if he wants to go Dallas or Miami, no state taxes, get a little more from there. If I were him, I would go with Luka Doncic because I think Luka is going to be the next guy. To me, it's a no-brainer. I'm getting to Dallas. I am hitching my kite to Luka's right leg, much like Jacoby and I always joke. Jalen always has a way of like, who's on the rise? I'm grabbing on. like Marie Taylor, don't leave without me.
You gotta catch the wave.
Yeah, and I think Giannis is looking at Luka, like, hey man, if it's me and him, we're winning titles. We're not winning the title. We're winning titles. We're winning 4 to 5 titles. I think Luka is the next. I don't know if you guys agree, but I think he has a chance to be one of the best 6 or 7 players ever. He's already the best 21-year-old player ever, and you look at his stats, and it's like if he can shoot 45% from 3 5 years from now, this is a guy who could be like 35, 10, and 10 every night. So if I'm Giannis, I'm going there, and I'm waiting.
One of my favorite things about Luka is when you look at him, you're like, is he in great shape? Like, oh, not really. Is he fast? Like, not really. Can he jump? Not really. Is he going to be one of the best basketball players you've ever seen with your eyes in your entire life? Yeah, probably. It just doesn't add up, but he has such command over the game. Everything seems so slow to him. He's so comfortable even in the big moments. I could see Luka Doncic being sort of the next generation post-LeBron in the NBA taking over, but there's also a large class of people along with him that could also take that crown. But Jalen...
He's the easy bet because to me, it's like he's like Bird and Magic. He can't dominate on both ends, but he's still not a liability because he's so smart. you know, I think LeBron, people forget now, but LeBron at Miami was one of the best defensive perimeter guys ever, and had a couple of years there where it was like he could guard Derrick Rose, he could guard Paul George, you name it, he could guard it. I don't think Luka's ever going to be like that, but I think offensively, Bird Magic is the comp, like somebody who not only can put up all the stats, but really makes everybody greater. And I think that's something LeBron struggled with over the years. You know, I think on that Lakers team, he made those guys better. There's no question. But there were other years when you can't really say he made guys that much better. You know, and I think with Luka, it's amazing. Everybody's better when he's out there. And that's what makes him special.
Bill, you know my favorite number is 5. It's my lucky number. You guys had a 5-tool player for the Red Sox. His name is Mookie.
Why?
You're now in Los Angeles.
Why
the Dodgers
are
about to win the World Series at some point. I have to ask you, just my professional obligation, how are you dealing with this?
It's horrible. And it's the most indefensible trade any Boston team has made since I've been alive. He was the best Red Sox position player we've ever had. Everybody loved him. He was hitting his prime. He does everything great. And the most frustrating thing for me are all the Dodger fans in my life who's like, oh, man, I didn't know Mookie could do this. I didn't know this. And you see like that last series where every game he does two things that aren't just like I hit a line drive into the gap. Like he'll make some throw. He'll make some catch. He'll turn some single into a double. He'll steal a base. He's honestly the best position guy I've ever watched day to day. And I think that's what makes him special is every single day he figures out some different way baseball game. So to watch him come here and to, you know, as I'm power walking LA, trying not to lose my mind and seeing like Mookie Betts t-shirt jerseys and stuff, it really hurts. It's way worse than the Brady thing. And not to mention in 2020, you know, he's I would say the signature black athlete in baseball. And I think somebody who could have been really important in Boston. And they're like, cool, let's trade him for 4 guys. It's all of it is just devastating. It's made me like baseball less. Honestly, I watched less baseball this year than I've ever watched in my life. And I don't know if it comes back. I got my 4 World Series rings. They traded my favorite guy. And I don't know. I'm taking it year by year now.
Bill, it's not the best free agent class this offseason in the NBA. However, there's some very interesting names that could potentially move in a trade. Who is a star that you could see switching teams via trade this offseason in the NBA?
Well, first of all, Jalen's going to sit there and not say anything. And as we've learned, knowing Jalen, Jalen always knows what's happening.
He knows stuff. He knows stuff.
Who's going where? He knows everything. He's like the Woj bomb who won't light the bombs. He just keeps the bombs in his back pocket. And then you have to take him to dinner and you have to put some drinks in him and some lobster. And then Jalen's like, hey, man, I'm hearing Victor Oladipo's going to Miami. So Jalen's the one who knows. But I would say Oladipo's most likely. Mm. I think Rudy Gobert, I just have a feeling that one's not playing out that great. Dark Horse Harden? I wouldn't be shocked if there was a Harden Embiid something going on there. And then from a Celtics standpoint, I think the Celtics are making a move. And, you know, as a Celtics fan, I look at last year, and I was saying this in the moment, there was a window for them to make the finals and possibly win the title last year, basically because Golden State got knocked out, Brooklyn wasn't there, Philly was a mess, Milwaukee loses in round 2 unexpectedly, and there's this window for this young Celtics team that I'm not sure is going to be there in the same way in 21 and 22, because now you have Golden State back, you got Milwaukee's desperate, Philly's going to be in a better situation with Doc.
Brooklyn,
and it's just a hard, and then Denver, they might add a piece, and I don't think the window is as open. I think they're too small, and Hayward's in his last year, and that can go in a bunch of different ways. And, you know, there's always the Marcus Smart card, who I think Celtic fans would have a hard time dealing with that if they traded him, but if you're building around Tatum and Brown and Kemba, and you need to get bigger, there's not a lot of moves you have because they missed on a lot of their draft picks. So look at Jalen. He's just hiding. He's hiding information from us right now.
He knows. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Daniel Tice is not the future.
I like that you threw Marcus Smart out there because that's one of those players, right, Bill, that it's going to be 29 teams that's on the phone trying to acquire him. And the Celtics fan base understands that they're going to treat him like a rock, like a almost like a superstar, because without being one, he does all of the intangibles. So in parting with a player like that to try to get bigger, that's going to be tricky for your general manager, Danny Ainge.
Right. Well, here's the thing with Marcus. He's superstar catnip, right? If you're KD and Kyrie, you're like, if we have Marcus, that guy's a warrior. He's not going to care if he takes 20 shots. He's going to guard the toughest guy on the other team. I would much rather play with somebody that like that than somebody who takes 20 shots a game. Same thing for the Warriors. Same thing for a couple other teams. The flip side of that is he's also perfect for the Celtics, which is why I don't think they'll trade him. But I do think there's some flexibility with Hayward where he could take less money for a longer contract. Everybody seems to think Indiana is a match for him for a variety of reasons. And Indiana, I think, is going to determine a lot of this because they have the Miles Turner contract, Oladipo with 1 year left. People think he's going to go. And that's a team. I actually like their assets. And if they can figure out some new scenario where they make a couple big trades, that's another team that could be. Look at Jalen knows. Look at him.
Smiling.
I have to go here because you created a show, Jalen and Jacoby, that everybody wants to embody, getting the barbershop talk. And we were putting immortals up on the wall, and we also own who we are. And if you look behind me, they look like me. You look behind him, they look like him. You brought up Gordon Hayward, and I asked both of you, my brothers, a question. Is part of what makes Gordon Hayward to Indiana work, just like the Boston Celtics in a lot of ways, is that he's a really good player and a white guy?
The Butler connection.
Yeah, I would say the Butler connection's a bigger thing. He's like a basketball state hero there. He became real-life Jimmy Chitwood there at Butler for two straight years. And here's the thing. I think he's a really good basketball player. If you're the Celtics, though, you have to wonder, is this just jinxed? The guy, the first game he plays, he gets hurt within a half hour. And he's out, and he has the worst basketball injury you could have. Comes back, gets hurt again. Looking great this last season. Breaks his hand randomly on, like, a total fluke play. Is the best player on the Celtics for the first month. Finally gets his stuff back together. Gets to the bubble and gets hurt again in the first game. And at some point, you think, like, all right, do we both need a break here? I just think he needs a change of scenery. And I think Indiana would make sense. He's going home. Indiana is in a weird situation with Turner and Sabonis because you have to play them together. But now Turner is like a stretch five, which I don't think is a good use of him. So he's expendable, and maybe that's the trade.
Bill, because I work in sports media, I make bold, sweeping, hyperbolic statements that may or may not be true. And I made the following yesterday on the show. I'm saying with Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow performing the way they do, albeit in losing games all the time, and the addition of Tua, that this could be the greatest QB class, eclipsing the 83 class that included Marino and Kelly and Elway. Do you agree that this could be the greatest QB class of all time?
When did Jacoby become a recency bias guy? Is this like an ESPN thing? They're just injecting it in their veins?
That's part of my training.
I will say, though,
Tua hasn't even played, mind you. Tua's thrown two passes, and I'm already saying it's the greatest class of all time.
I love Burrow, and I love Herbert. I watch football for 11 straight hours every Sunday. Herbert immediately jumped out where when he has that game when Tyrod Taylor got attacked by the team doctor. And Herbert comes in last second, and you're thinking, oh, they're going to get killed. They're going to lose by 40. And he was good in the game, and it's like, wait a second. What's going on here? And then the next week, it's like, oh, he's good. And you watch his long balls where he just throws these beautiful 45, 50 yarders downfield. I think he's a home run. And Burrow, I can't even believe it. First of all, he's covered every game except the first one, which is a push. So he's Joey Covers. But they have no offensive line. AJ Green was you know, peaked 5 years ago. Mixon already got hurt, and he's out there. He's taking a huge pounding, and the guy's just great. So if Tua can be on that level, you might be in this, Jacoby, because you might have three iconic guys. The most important thing is the rookie cards. Because sports cards are coming back. This is like the rookie cards from this draft. You throw in Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the receivers. It's a good rookie card draft.
Hey, Bill, since your Patriots aren't in it, you got six Super Bowls to celebrate. Now asking this question, I know I can get an objective answer. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? Who's going to play in the Super Bowl? And who's going to win it this year?
Jalen loves that the Patriots have turned into the Lions. I could see it in his eyes.
This is Lions have a better record, actually.
I'm now a Lions fan. It's like, I have no hope. Hopefully can win six games. I think it's – here's the thing. I think it's too early to predict to say, like, I know who's making the Super Bowl. But week 8 and week 9 are when when the teams start to separate and you start seeing who's really good. I got to say, I think Tampa's the best all-around team. I felt that way before the Raiders game. They can block for Brady. They have weapons, and their defense is good. And they have guys on defense who can make plays. I think they're the only team that has the complete package. The catch is Brady being age 43 and somebody who the last couple of years, December, January, you know, would start to tail off once the weather changed. Baltimore, I still need to see Lamar beat somebody great when it really matters. I don't totally trust him yet. KC, I don't know. I haven't – every game they've kind of let – these other teams hang around. I'm not really sure on them. Pittsburgh is the upside team to me just because of their ability to throw the ball and the way they can play defense. But I like the AFC a lot more than the NFC, except for Tampa. I don't know what you guys think.
Bill, we've done all the sports stuff. All right, so let's go podcast exclusive here and talk about some memories from the trio of us and all the people at Grantland working together. What are some of the things you miss most about working with Jalen Anthony Rose? that you can say into a microphone.
Don't get me fired.
Jalen had a lot of secret things going on. There was always like, he had a secret apartment in LA that none of us ever went to that we think he had. We weren't positive. He had secret restaurants. He had secret establishments. Secret dishes, secret relationships.
Hold up. Yeah, let me add to this. Jalen had an apartment in downtown LA, and we were very close at the time. I've never been inside the building. And one time, instead of having me come upstairs, he had me wait outside like a doorman for like 40 minutes while he was upstairs like changing clothes or something. It was like, dog, we're friends. What do you have, like a sex dungeon up there? Like, what can't I see? What are you keeping from me up there?
He's just an enigma. And I think he does this thing in the New York Post where he's like the Renaissance man. He should have called himself the Enigma, because we were with him every day and we had all these questions. And when he was in the room, we'd be like, where was Jalen last night? He was gone for
no
six
idea.
Out and then said he had a steak. Where did he get the steak? What was there a secret restaurant? There was only one table. So he had that. Plus, he has so many secret relationships. Oh. He could get anyone on the phone at any time.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter who it is. He's getting them and be like, oh, we should talk. Yeah, I'll call Barack right now. Like, there's just a lot of enigmatic stuff.
Oh, that's funny. What about me pitching the idea about this show? And also acknowledging that I wanted to do the show with our brother, David Jacoby, who wasn't talent at the time.
I don't really remember. You've kind of taken whatever happened that day and you've turned it into its own thing. I remember you coming in and saying you wanted a podcast.
I remember
and Jacoby going to lunch, and then you deciding you liked Jacoby and you guys were going to do the podcast together. That's what I remember. But you wanted a podcast the same way you would want, like, a boat or a car. You were just like, I want one. How do I get that? I was like, all right, go out to lunch with Jacoby. And then it was initially the Jalen Rose report, and then it turned into something else. But you figured out pretty quickly we were ahead of the game on some of the digital stuff, because that was, like, the biggest the Grantland's legacy to me. Everyone's like, oh, long form. To me, it wasn't that at all. It was, like, all the different stuff we tried. We were doing, you know, we won an Emmy for 30 for 30 shorts. We had that YouTube. Remember, we took that YouTube money, Jacoby. We created our studio, did all these shows. We did.
Remember March Madness Live? Like, no one was doing that.
Yeah, we did March Madness Live. Jacoby broke my basketball court, putting up this giant antenna. We did all the house eats.
The NBA draft. What about the draft? The NBA drafts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. We did the interview. We did the Bill and Jay when the NBA previews, where we basically stole a bunch of IP and somehow didn't get sued. But we were just taking chances left and right. But Jalen was smart. Jalen's always looking ahead. That's why he's the Renaissance man. And he was like, these guys are trying stuff. I want to be involved. And that was it. But you should be the Enigma. You shouldn't be the Renaissance man.
I like that. I'm going to have to bring that back.
That's your next incarnation, the Enigma.
Bill, obviously you have the Ringer and you were bought by Spotify. There was a New York Times article this summer that was sort of critical of some of the ways that you've given opportunities to some of your minority employees. How have you and the organization sort of responded and changed since that article came out?
Well, we had already responded well before the article came out, which it decided not to put in the article. But I think if you look at our podcast network right now, I think we have the single most diverse podcast network of anyone. And a lot of that stuff was in motion before that article, which was one of the reasons that, you know, I had an issue with it. It was trying to grab onto stuff from 2018, 2019. We were a startup just trying to do the best we could. I look back and I'm mad at a lot of stuff, and you're only as good as your record. But we've taken a lot of steps to address this stuff really for the last, I would say, 12 to 15 months. And I just look at our podcast network now. I think we have by far the most diverse one, and I think it's really good. So at some point, we'll get credit for that. I don't know when.
Jacoby, I'm on the phone trying to get Bakari Sellers. Oh, he's Ringer. I'm on the phone trying to get Van Lathan. He's Ringer. I'm on the phone trying to get David Chang. He's Ringer. So I have to ask you, Podfather, you got a check when you sold the Ringer. How does it feel to be rich, rich?
Rich, rich. Really rich.
Like Jalen Rich.
Yes.
You know, we definitely didn't want to sell. To me, it was more like, you guys know me, I'm competitive. And Spotify was just so far ahead of the game in so many different ways. And we really wanted to be a part of it. And that was it. We felt like they were basically Netflix for audio. They were at the same point that right now where Netflix was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. They had all this intelligence, all this data, and now they're hiring creative people to try to combine the two things. So for us, like, being a startup was really hard. And, you know, it wasn't just the hiring stuff that we mentioned earlier. Like, a lot of times, when you're on your own like that, you end up being like the 10 seed in March Madness. And eventually you have to play Duke and Kansas and all these teams that are just have a different kind of infrastructure and a different kind of respect. And over again, we were trying to hire people, and they still kind of look at you and you're on your own. You're a startup, and it was hard. And we lost some people. We had trouble retaining people and also trouble getting people. And I think once you're aligned with a bigger, you know, power, I think it makes it, you have better resources, you have a better HR hiring infrastructure in place, and it just makes it easier to go get people. So that was the biggest thing for me, and then the check didn't hurt.
No, it did not. Bill, We always have to say that how much we appreciate what you've done for us and this show early on, giving us a shot and letting us do whatever we wanted. Now here we are over 9 years later, still on TV. But I do also want to say this. Please don't bother us about coming on again. We'll ask you. Please don't ask us. You know what I mean? Because it got a little annoying after a while. But you just kept badgering me about coming on the show, you know? So we'll reach out to you next time.
I badgered you once. I get hurt because I know Jalen books the show.
Yeah, you know the dynamics. You know the dynamics. Yeah, of course.
Jalen's a booker.
Are you gonna deny that, Jalen? You gonna deny that? Jalen's a talent booker.
Jalen's like, I got this guy, I got that guy.
Well, he knows and the inside scoop.
At some point, I thought I'd be in the mix.
Well, first off, if it was up to me, you would come on at least once a month. Now we have to look back, and some people can Google some things. When you initially left the company and you got a check to go to another network, you and the company kind of weren't seeing eye to eye. So I'm just happy that we're all in a space. I just had this with my family, guys, to be honest, this past weekend. It was refreshing to be at my daughter's volleyball game, and we were all getting along. Mm. Darius, Mariah, Gracie, Mari, their mom, we were all getting along. And to be honest, that's how I feel right now. You got your check. You won. We're brothers. We're not here without you. I just want to know. I just got to ask one more question before we let you get out of here. When can we play basketball again? I want to know. When can we play basketball again?
I'm so retired. I've been retired for like 7 years. I'm done. I think Jalen makes a good point. It did get weird there, you know, especially after I left the circumstances. There was definitely some bitterness on both sides. But, you know, time heals all. You look back and you go, what was the point of that? You know, I think it's like anything else, whether it's with family or work or something. I had a really good run at ESPN and did a lot of good things and had a great relationship with a lot of people. And for like a year and a half, it was like that was out the window and it sucked. But now it's at the point when I can come back on here and, you know, 30 for 30 still rolling and stuff like that. And some of the people that we had in our universe are still killing it at ESPN. And it's like, that's what matters, you know? So I'm glad. I'm always available if you guys want me.
Well, that's well put. And I also want to end on this sentiment that, like, Grantland had a very distinct beginning and end. And I will say that in the arena of sports media, there is a championship banner with the Grantland G on it up in the rafters. It's just like one championship.
Absolutely.
That you can never take down. There will never get rings. There'll never be a real banner. But in my mind, in that arena of sports media, there is a Grantland championship banner in the rafters. And I want to thank every single human being that contributed to that, because that was one of the high points of my career.
Well, and the cool thing about Grantland, I mean, we created the first podcast network at ESPN. We did all the stuff on digital, on YouTube, all those things, and the shorts. We had the Grantland Basketball Hour on TV. We had me and Jalen on Countdown at the time. We were kind of all over the place, and we did it with a really small staff, which was one of the reasons I ultimately got frustrated. I think, what do we have, Jacoby, 46 people? And we were doing the stuff we were doing. We were trying to compete with, like, the New Yorker and New York Magazine and Sports Illustrated, all these places that had way more resources than we did. And we were able to compete with them, you know. And I thought the coolest thing is how much young talent we found, and also putting people in the right position, like Jalen. Jalen was being pigeonholed as, you know, he was on the college basketball show. He was yet another ex-player. And he had so much more to offer than that. And, you know, I think at Grantland, he really figured out who he was as a multimedia person. So I look at that stuff and it's like, man, we did a lot. It was great. It was 4 years, but I think it was influential. I'm really proud of it.
Bill, thank you so much for taking the time. Look forward to talking to you on text.
I miss you guys. It was good seeing you.
Likewise.
I love you, my brother. Forever grateful for your influence. And looking forward to catching up soon and breaking bread, having some adult beverages.
Yeah, post-pandemic hang. Let's do it.
Let's get it. Got to give the people time. Give the-
Jalen and Jacoby is presented by Samuel Adams from Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Big Ten football is back. Number 3, Ohio State and Justin Fields head into State College to play the number 18 Penn State Nittany Lions. That's on ABC at 7:30 on Saturday. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby, your source for all of the extremely important news in sports and pop culture. It is time for News That Matters. Kim Kardashian held a 40th birthday party on a private island and fell victim to a lot of criticism on social media, but that's not what matters. What matters is this. The Phoenix Suns' Devin Booker was in attendance. Jalen, can the Kardashian-Jenner Association take down Devin Booker as it has so many athletes in the past?
You know the Kardashian-Jenner family has the best scouting department in sports and entertainment. But I'm rooting for D-Book, so I feel and
love
I
D-Book.
Hope that he's the guy to break the curse.
I love Devin Booker so much. He is immune to the Kardashian curse. I want to thank Bill Simmons for coming by. We will be back tomorrow
thank
on ESPN
you.
at 2
thank
p.m.
Thank you. You are far too kind.